everybody. Here we are.
Hello, hello.
You are listening to Stirring the Pot on Voice of Vashon, KVSH 101.9 FM LP, right here on beautiful Vashon Island. I'm Linda Nygaard, and with me in the studio are two of my favorite people, Celine Demir. Hi, Celine.
Hello, hello, everyone.
And Heidi Skrypek.
Hello.
Hi. And we have a special guest today. Nan Wilson has joined us for our Elbows on Table conversation about food systems, economics, food banks, and many other interesting things. Hello and welcome, Nan.
Hello.
I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah,
we're going to have lots to talk about in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before we get started, I'd like to remind all of our listeners and us at the table as well that KVSH is a listener-supported station. We also have the support of our sponsors with whom we could never do these, without whom we could never do these shows. So in light of what's happening with the government today, and by the way, any opinions you hear on this show are mine and do not reflect the station's stance on anything, but we could really use some more support. It's more vital. I think it's more vital than ever now that we have independent radio stations, as the government and big business move closer to dominating the field. So please, if you can, help us out by making a donation. We would love that. It's easy. You can go to our website, www.voiceofvashon.org, where it's easy to make a one-time donation. Any amount helps, any amount. Or to become a monthly subscriber, if you'd like to do that. We depend on you. And thank you in advance. Okay, that's it for that. Now, let's get down to business. So we have a lot to talk about today, and I'm excited to get there. But first of all, let's talk a little bit about what's been going on with everybody. Heidi, you've been swimming again, I know.
Oh, yeah, I did that.
Is there a day you don't swim, Heidi?
Many.
For those of you who don't know, Heidi's a master swimmer who competes around the world in relays and single swims in waters that we only dream about. And you recently just got back from Southern California, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah. I did a relay of the Catalina Channel.
Mm-hmm. Right. How'd it go?
About that.
It was fantastic.
Was it?
Best conditions I've yet to swim
really?
In.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yep.
So you did well. You were happy.
We had a great finish, 12 hours and 10 minutes to cross,
God.
And dolphins, so many dolphin visitors,
sharks,
nice. No jellyfish. It was beautiful. It was perfect.
Oh, how beautiful.
Awesome.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Very
and
happy.
Then I would imagine you're harvesting.
Oh, good Lord.
What are you harvesting now?
right now, what's really popping is the sweet potato squash.
Yum.
It looks like an acorn squash. It's an orange flesh winter squash. My favorite.
Oh, I've never heard
food.
Of that one.
Yeah, it looks like sort of like an acorn squash. And they're
dark green on the outside?
Actually, no. They're sort of a creamy golden color, and they're going to get more yellow as they're ready to pick. I'm waiting for the stem to get kind of corky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right now, it's still in the development phase, but they're like a pound each.
Wow.
So yum. I am excited to have winter stores.
Oh, that'll be so fun.
That's what's up.
Yeah. So that's what's happening there. And Celine, I know you have a big job in Seattle. Celine has a big job in Seattle where she manages some things for a big company. So, you know, if you're lucky, you'll run into her on the passenger boat every morning.
Yeah.
And so we feel really lucky to have Celine here because she takes time out of her busy schedule to come and be with us. So what you've been doing, I should say aside from that, Celine hails from Turkey. So she has a lot of international kind of food and culture and food history knowledge, which just kind of comes out of her mouth sometimes. So what's been going on with you?
So last weekend, Alara, my daughter, and I wanted to, she wanted to have a mother-daughter day.
Oh,
how nice. She's 17, so love it.
Yeah.
And so we decided that we were going to go to Friday Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And so we took the ferry from here to get to the ferry in Anacortes. And we missed the Friday Harbor ferry by 5 minutes. You know, it happens.
Yeah.
So, but we just replanned and we didn't have a plan anyway. We were just going to go with it. And so we stayed in Anacortes. We found a little Turkish cafe Anacortes.
Really?
Yes. Has like the most amount of Turkish desserts that I've ever seen in the in Seattle area.
That's right up my alley.
Really good.
Yeah.
You and I need to go there.
Yeah.
You and I can get very dangerous there in those desserts. Mm. So, and then we had a nice lunch and all that. And then we drove back and had a lovely dinner with my best friend and her husband. And we worked a little bit on Saturday and then on Sunday. So, yeah.
Sounds like a really fun time.
Full joy of with my daughter and with my best friend. I came back I went to work yesterday so pumped up. Aww. It was so interesting, like how a really wonderful weekend actually fills you and prepares you for the week ahead.
It should.
It was so wonderful.
You had beautiful weather to be on the water. That's really lovely.
So Alara and I spending on Sunday together as well now. So
that's great.
I love it.
She's adorable. So Nan.
Yes.
Nan, I know you're really busy right now and that you are in the throes of an almost there master's degree in
sustainable food systems.
Yes. I always forget food and sustain. I can't ever get those words in the right order. So tell me about that and tell me what you've been doing lately.
Well, actually, I'm not as busy because I actually have the summer off.
Oh, nice.
Well, since mid-June. Mm-hmm. Yes. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And I will not have next summer off, so I'm really taking advantage of this.
Oh, good.
But actually, this weekend, I also shout out to my brother, Nate Wilson. Mm-hmm. He had his annual garden party. Tons of family came in.
He lives on Vashon?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. He's Elvenina Quartermaster.
Okay.
And, I generally like have a 1 hour limit on being able to hang at parties, mm-hmm. but I hung for several hours and had such a great time.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. And, it was a beautiful day, beautiful weekend, kids,
food.
Paella.
Oh,
that
wow.
was made there. Oh my God, I can't remember the name of the caterers. But anyway, they're local people too. Mm-hmm. I guess that was Saturday, Sunday, you know, a little bit more hanging out and then visiting with some other friends. And Monday in the afternoon, we did a family Vashon Strong workout.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, it was crazy.
That's my gym too.
Yeah.
I just trained there today. And guess what, you guys? Really quick diversion. Josh is going to have a show.
Is he?
And I'm going to train him.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
First. Sorry.
Yes.
You know, I drive by that place every day. And I look in there and I think, oh, my God, those people, the things they're doing in there.
But, you know, okay, so it's CrossFit, but it's Vashon style mm-hmm. or Josh style or whatever. So... It's very welcoming,
uh-huh.
which means things are catered. Actually, I'm not going to go down this road, but let's just say that it is for everybody. They have a class.
That's what I've heard.
There's a Legends class. I think that's for 70
people
and over.
People 70 and over, yeah.
And I go to the Fire and Iron class. Mm-hmm. It's for women.
Hmm.
You know? So anyway, it's for everybody. But it was just crazy to do it with, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 other family members.
Yeah.
Everyone from, I guess, 14... to almost 70.
Oh, wow.
How'd they do? Fun.
Actually, they're super fucking competitive.
Are they?
Oh, are they?
Perfect.
Most of them.
Yeah.
So it was a lot.
Oh, that's really interesting. I wouldn't have guessed that as a family outing, and that's really pretty wonderful.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
Ooh, awesome. That's a marketing idea for Josh.
Isn't it? Hello,
I'm
Josh.
Telling you.
I don't know what he charged, but it was worth it.
Oh,
that's so cool.
Wow, that's really great. What a great idea. There are a lot of athletic families on the island.
Yes.
That is true.
There are. They might enjoy that.
Yeah.
We'll have to give that some thought, a little further thought.
Definitely.
So, Nan, we're going to get to know you just a little bit here.
Okay.
And I know that we have a lot to cover today, but first of all, I have a few little questions I'd like to ask you.
Okay.
They're easy. They're not hard. Don't worry. What's your favorite way to eat a potato?
French fries.
Oh.
It's because of my grandkids, though.
Is it?
Yeah. Before that, it was like definitely baked potatoes and all that stuff. But basically now, I eat French fries every week. At least once a week.
Good. Yeah.
And I want them super crispy
mm-hmm.
from the air fryer. Thank you. I specifically got an air fryer for French fries.
They make really good French fries, don't they? Yeah. And they're a little bit healthier.
I don't know.
I mean, they're a lot healthier.
Okay,
but
fine.
They're really good. Sure. Really good.
We're just going to keep tell that to ourselves.
Yeah. So what's your favorite way to eat an egg?
I'm not a huge egg fan.
Oh,
but also
okay.
My grandkids have gotten me into eggs. They want scrambled eggs all the time. Uh-huh. And also they want them a certain way. They want them soft scrambled. I'm like, who are you?
Oh.
but personally, I like to fry it hard.
Mm-hmm.
And just as it's getting from soft to hard, start to break it up. So there are these chunks of white and yellow.
Oh.
And I cook everything in a wok. So I want the oil hot, so uh-huh. I'm getting crispy on the edges.
Oh, mm. Yum. Yum. Yeah. That sounds good.
Yeah, it is good.
Is there anything that you won't eat, or like what kind of food do you despise? There's something that's on your I don't eat it list.
Chitlins.
Oh. Chitlins.
Chitlins.
You will not eat.
Never again. Uh-uh. I mean, I guess if I I don't think I would eat it if I had to.
Yeah.
I think I would rather starve.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Can we add one more question?
Sure.
Because you're studying sustainable food systems, you're in the throes of finishing this mm-hmm. coursework. Is there a food that you have a new perspective on that you don't feel good about eating anymore?
OMFG.
What is it?
Beef.
Oh, there we go.
Beef. Beef, beef, beef.
Really?
And I mean, I haven't for many years been a huge flesh eater or beef eater, but beef, the impact of beef on our planet mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. catastrophic.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I know.
Catastrophic. Yeah. Between methane, but also between the land use that's mm-hmm. given up mm-hmm. and the commodity corn that is being grown. I could
just
go on and on
feed
and on.
Them. Yeah.
But just to feed them. Yeah.
So my new thing is, I mean, I will eat beef once a month. Mm-hmm. And actually, I got this from Henry, just choosing a time. And I try to do it only local, get only mm-hmm. local beef.
Mm-hmm.
But literally, if the American population would eat 25% of what they're eating now, it would reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Oh man, I forgot what the percentage is, but like just, that's crazy.
That's not that's hard good. To do either.
Yeah.
Really. It's not.
Well, it is.
No, it isn't.
Preference.
I mean, not for me, I guess not for me.
General population, changing preferences in eating is one of the hardest things mm-hmm. to do behaviorally.
Mm-hmm. I bet it is. I know. Yeah, I can see that because I remember years ago I had a friend for whom I was cooking and she just didn't cook. She wasn't eating well and I'm a cook, you know, so she asked me if I'd cook for her 3 times a week. And I said, yeah, I'd love to. And she paid me to do that. And then one day she said to me, you know, I've never known anybody that's as meat centric as you are. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, I'm really a vegetarian, which she hadn't bothered to tell me, you know?
Oopsie.
And so she would eat fish, but she was counting chicken and beef in the vegetarian thing. She didn't want to eat either of them and was too polite to tell me until we'd been into it, you know, for a couple of months. And I thought, so she calls that meat-centric. And I started thinking about it. And I thought, it was, because I was feeling it. This was years ago.
Yeah.
And I was feeling like it was, you know, you got to have your meat in two sides.
Yeah.
You got to mm-hmm. do it that way. And you don't.
No.
I mean, change it around. Change it. So I have done that. But I get that. It's hard to change people's patterns.
Yeah.
Very hard. So back to the questions. What's your favorite ice cream?
Also, I'm not a huge ice cream person.
Oh, geez.
I know.
Batting zero here with the questions.
But so I go with my grandkids' choices.
Uh-huh.
Strawberry.
Strawberry.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The strawberry from Pop Pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's really good. That's really good.
Pop Pop ice cream. Yum, yum.
So are you more of a savory person or do you have a sweet tooth?
Savory.
Savory.
I mean, I can do sweet.
Uh-huh.
I keep uncooked cookie dough in my freezer.
Do you?
So I can eat with a spoon.
Oh.
But I'm definitely a savory
yeah.
person.
Yeah. That's interesting. Okay. Well, thank you. Now we know you a little better. That's all I had. Anybody else have a question they want to ask her? Okay. Well, I think Heidi and Celine and I, and obviously you can join in, Nan, but I think we should tell you about a little field trip that we made a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it was fun.
Celine, you know, knows stuff. And she she has a favorite market in Kirkland called Koza Turkish and Mediterranean Market. Yeah. And how it's in Kirkland.
K-O-Z-A.
Koza Turkish and Mediterranean Market. And you can look them up on the web. They have a beautiful website, and their address and phone number, et cetera, is there. But anyway, she treated Heidi and me to a afternoon. We went for lunch, mm-hmm. and Heidi and I both, well, I should say, there's a market and there's a little restaurant that was recently opened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we decided to do our lunch first so we didn't go to the market hungry. So we each ordered, Heidi and I ordered what we thought we wanted. And Heidi's was sort of like a Euro kind of thing. And mine was a different thing. And then Celine came to the table and suddenly all these things are coming to the table. Like this, there were soups.
Wait a minute.
And there was.
Who ordered this?
I said, what is that? And Celine said, well, I didn't want you to leave without tasting everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we had this table full of incredible food, little tastes of everything. It was so good. Obviously, we had some boxes to take. Yeah. So how did you discover the market, Celine?
So I'm part of the Turks in Seattle Facebook mm-hmm. group. So, and there's a huge Turkish community in Seattle, and they usually all live in the eastern.
Okay.
Not eastern, like over the mountain, it's like east side.
Mm-hmm.
And so a couple of years ago when I saw that the Koza was being built, and it was very different because before that you always go to a Lebanese market because mm-hmm. that's they would have the Turkish food, you know, a lot of the Turkish brand names, but we've never, at least I've never seen a Turkish market before. So when I saw, I was like, oh my gosh. So we go about every 4 months or so, and I fill up back of my car, and mm-hmm. there are certain things that I always buy, and so I have it in my pantry or in my freezer that it just kind of makes me feel good. They're really yummy stuff there.
And then you kind of got to know the proprietor a little bit.
Yeah.
So tell us about his restaurant. And that's a new piece to the puzzle, isn't it?
Yeah. So he, the owner is husband and wife for the market. And then they opened the little cafe, and then they hired this chef there.
It's right next to the,
right next to each other. So there are two buildings right next to each other. And then they hired this Turkish chef that makes really great Turkish gyro, which is called döner, which is different than the Greek gyro. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Heidi, you had that. Yeah. What was it like?
I found it to be mellower, and I liked it better. Mm-hmm. And the texture of the meat was softer.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah.
So it's beef and lamb.
Don't say it in front of her. Just kidding.
No.
I love yours.
Yeah.
Okay,
oh,
yeah, good. You should try the Turkish one.
Oh, good.
You'll love it more.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And then I can't remember what it was that I had, but I know that
you had Iskender kebab.
I had Iskender kebab. And it nice. Was unbelievable. It was a mix of peppers and lamb and beef and seasonings, probably pepper paste. And then,
It was actually tomato paste.
Was it tomato mm-hmm. paste?
The sauce that you have on top of your uh-huh. kebab was tomato paste.
It was so good.
Sauce, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what really surprises me, because I kind of think I have a fairly sophisticated palate, but I really did not realize that Turkish food had that many levels of flavor. There's something that hits the front of your mouth and something that hits the back of your mouth, and your whole mouth is happy when you're eating. Yeah. You know, you taste all those different spices, and it's really, really good. One thing I loved about Koza was the service.
Mm-hmm.
And the people were happy, and the man behind the counter who was cooking and, you know, had his chef's apron on, and he was happy and he was glad to see us. And it was just really a lovely sort of family kind of environment. Mm-hmm. I really loved it. And it appeared to me that it was family working there. The woman that waited on us was somebody's daughter. I remember that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There might be, but I have to admit, every time I go there, service is the same. Even mm-hmm. though you get service by different mm-hmm. waiters or different people behind the counter mm-hmm. in the market, but the the sincerity, the and how sweet they are and how lovely they are, it's always the same. There's something about that place. It's like every time you go there, you feel very nice about it, and because they smile and they talk and they're just so lovely.
And they want to make sure that what you have is to your liking.
Mm-hmm.
They really want to make sure that you're enjoying your food. It's really lovely. Yeah. Heidi, let's talk about the market a little bit. Because the market, the market next door, I'm going to post some pictures on the website. And Celine, you have some too.
Yeah.
On our Facebook page, pictures of this market and the contents that are in there. But it was like a fairyland, like a Disney. No, Disneyland's too gauche. It was a really beautiful display of incredible food.
Small, stocked to the rafters, gift items, fresh produce, dairy. Everything.
I what did you buy? What kinds of things did you buy?
Mostly chocolate. pistachio.
You know, that pistachio chocolate. I bought two pistachio chocolate candy bars, and I couldn't get over how good they were.
They're
I could not
so
even
good.
Believe how good those were.
Yeah.
And then I mean the chocolate's way different. It's not it's way different chocolate.
Yeah.
And then I bought
it's very good.
Some pepper paste. I think Celine pointed it out to me that I've been putting in everything. The other day I made, I sliced up some yellow squash and I sauteed some onions and some garlic and some red pepper slices and just kind of got those a little soft, not all the way cooked. And then I put the squash in and let it cook till I like it a little crispy, but not raw. And then when it was finished, I put a giant glob of that red pepper paste in it.
Nice.
Oh, my God. So that's my new go-to dinner. I mean, I ate it for dinner.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yummy.
And you can eat that just on top of a toast.
I know. I haven't tried that yet.
It's awesome.
And then I fell in love with their pickles called Mikti. Is that how you say that? Mikti?
Mikti pickle.
Mikti pickle. And they're made from wild cucumbers, and they're, I don't know, 3 inches long, 3 to 4 inches long, and very, very thin, maybe an inch around. And the first time I tasted it, I was like, it's not at all what I thought it was going to be. It's kind of a sour, kind of a salty. What did you think, Heidi?
Definitely not sweet.
No.
It's like a dill, but without the dill.
There's no dill. It's got coriander.
It's coriander.
Yeah. And I like it more. I like it more.
I do too.
I eat those again.
And I couldn't stop eating them at home.
But the concept of a wild cucumber, I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, that's cool.
A wild cucumber?
Yeah. Interesting. It's really interesting. You know, they have I was watching a thing the other day. It's about Greece, but it's kind of, you know, in that area. And the Greek people that go out and collect wild asparagus.
Yes.
And it's just little tiny itty bitty things. And it just looks so good. So this is along the same line of that. And then one of my other favorite things comes in a little jar. It's called tahin pekmez.
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying
that right? You said it right.
So tell me what that is, Celine.
So tahin pekmez is the mixture of tahini, sesame tahini, mixed with grape molasses.
Mm-hmm. As in grapevine, grapes.
Yes, grape molasses. And the one that you have is already pre-mixed. Mm-hmm. And then in Turkey, they usually sell them separately.
Oh.
And then you can adjust how syrupy you want so that you can put more molasses, or if you want to maybe a little bit thicker, you can put more sesame tahini in it. And but they have these things now. They're pre-made, which I was kind of surprised. And when I saw that, that's why I told you should try this one. You would like it because it's pretty sweet. It's very common to eat during the winter, especially because it really does give your body a little bit of a warmth because it's nutritionally packed when you think about it. Sesame,
it's tahini
and grape molasses. So yeah, it's very common to be eaten for breakfast in the cold months of the year. Yeah.
And you put it on toast, you put it on bread.
How
else do you use it?
Some people make like cookies with them. But it's
like
usually,
a filling kind of.
Filling. But I think it's usually, I mean, the way that I've always eaten it is on a fresh piece of bread or a toasted piece of bread. It's always really, really good. You can always have a little piece of feta cheese. I mean, feta goes with everything.
You know, speaking of speaking of feta, I bought...
Oh, you got the Turkish feta cheese?
I got goat feta.
No, sheep. You got sheep.
I got sheep. Yeah. I got sheep feta. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. It's different from... It's way different. And I got a bucket of yogurt because I thought, well, I like yogurt. I'll try this. And now I think I'm going to go back to Kirkland just for that. I mean, it was so good.
One more commentary about that place. Both the restaurant and the store were populated by customers that came from a ways away.
Yes.
That were of Mediterranean descent, mostly, speaking other languages than the proprietors. They made special trips. Like one woman in the restaurant was just, hello.
What was her name? Do you remember her name?
Julia. I believe Julia. Yes, you're right. Julia. Yeah.
She was wonderful. She invited us all to her house in Istanbul.
Yeah, she did. You stay with me.
You stay with me. Okay. Come, I'll take you around. Just let me know.
Good.
Yeah.
And she came from Puyallup that day.
Yeah. Just to be there.
Yeah. Just to have lunch.
Just
to have lunch.
And then go, you know, get some stuff. But
that's a really good
point. I mean, that's what I do.
Right. You come all the way from Vashon just to have lunch. I know. It's an amazing thing. Yeah. Well, we have much more to talk about, but first we'd like to take a minute and thank our wonderful sponsors.
Voice of Vashon thanks Windermere Real Estate for its support, making our community information programming and our emergency alert service possible. Find them on the web at windermerevashon.com.
VOV underwriting support is provided by Puget Sound Energy, offering tips and resources to save energy, save money, and stay warm during these cold winter months at psc.com/lower.
And we're back.
Hello, you're listening to KVSH.
What are you listening to?
This is your life.
101.9 on Vashon Island, Washington. And we're here in the studio on Stirring the Pot. Today we're going to talk about lots of things. Right now, we're going to switch gears a little bit. We've been talking about the Turkish market that we're all in love with. And I think we could spend a whole half hour on that, another half hour. But
we're going to talk about Nan.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Nan now. I do want to say one more thing. Again, the name of the market is Koza, K-O-Z-A. You can just look it up. Koza in Kirkland, their address, their phone number, everything is there. And seriously, if you're anywhere near there, you need to go and eat. It's unbelievable.
Or make it a destination.
Anyway, it is a destination.
It's a destination. It's a long way from here, but it's really worth it.
It's a nice drive. It's not, you know, take some friends and go.
I fell in love with, I think it's probably very similar, a pepper paste or pepper whatever in Macedonia.
Yeah.
Oh, it's probably ahwar. It's a little bit different. It's called ahwar.
Yeah.
It's made with pepper paste. What she got is actual pepper paste. But what Macedonian is, it's ahwar that you use for breakfast.
Yes.
Oh. Yes. You use pepper paste to make it.
So pepper paste is in it.
Yes.
I get it.
Yes, pepper paste.
Well, we're going to have some lessons in this, I think, because it's a whole new cuisine and it's just quite
wonderful.
I'm still
going. I'm making a destination. Yeah. Okay.
So now we want to talk about Nan and what Nan's up to and what she's learning and has to, lots of information to share with us. First of all, Nan is, as we said earlier, working on her master's degree, and she's also a member of the Vashon Mori Food Bank. So we'd like to talk a little bit about the food bank. Nan and I had coffee a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about the show and what we might want to talk about and how, you know, information that she wants to impart and things that she's learning through her studies. And one of the things that she talked about was the sustainability issue that we have on Mother Earth these days. Also, food disparity and food racism. And then, so I did a little digging, and what I'm finding is that the Vashon Mori Food Bank is doing pretty okay in most regards. They have in their, I don't know if it's in their mission statement or in their statement of goals, but they have DEI right in there. It's like, we will not discriminate based on anything. And I feel that way about the food bank. So would you like to talk to us a little bit about what's going on at the food bank and kind of what you're learning about the current situation in our world as it distills down to Vashon?
Okay. I'm actually going to pull it back a little bit. I guess I shouldn't be pulling myself back. the master's, I'm in a master's in sustainable food systems, and I came across that when I was doing an application to be on the board of the food bank.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you how you decided to do such a thing.
And I was still working at the time in music publishing administration. Mm-hmm. Music. Techie part. And I just needed some words. And I went down one of those rabbit holes and came across this program at the Culinary Institute of America. As I retired, I applied for it, got accepted. Retired and said, oh, I'll try that, having no idea that a master's program is another full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on the board of the food bank. I've been volunteering at the food bank for almost 3 years since I've been back in Vashon, mm-hmm. in the warehouse part and the grocery store part. And I love it because it's food. And it's giving away, like, you know, our lifeblood.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's a happy place of gathering. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to create there. So being on the board of the food bank, we went through a new strategic planning process. The previous one was actually about 5 years ago.
Okay.
So think 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Black Lives Matter.
And that was COVID.
One of the strategic goals that the food bank created was essentially, I'm going to give you the short version, was to actively engage in becoming an anti-racist organization.
Mm-hmm. And did that come up 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It came, that's when the last strategic planning process happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they created that goal.
Okay.
So I saw this goal as I was doing my application. And then when we started recent strategic planning process, and you guys don't know this out there in radio world, but I'm Black. And when I first came on the food bank board, I was like, I don't want to deal with anything that has to do with race because I'm Black. I deal with it every day.
Yeah.
But pretty quickly.
Oh, Nan.
What? Sorry.
I love you.
Okay. Pretty quickly, I kind of intuitively started to be drawn to I have some concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Really working in the warehouse and seeing the disparity between the representation of who's volunteering. I'm talking about ethnically, racially, even economically, and who the customers are.
Okay.
And then I came across a strategic goal, blah, 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 blah. As part of my program, we have to do a capstone project,
mm-hmm.
which I have chosen to be creating an anti-racist food bank.
Okay.
Which is essentially going to be the fulfillment of the strategic goal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Two birds with
one
stone.
Boy, that's simplified. Come on, let's go.
Yeah.
As much as you can.
Okay, yeah. So a little bit more elaboration. One is apparently it's way bigger than a capstone project.
Okay.
Do you mean in this particular,
what I chose as a topic and what I said I was going to set out to do.
Okay.
Like, I really want to create an anti-racist food bank. We're in Vashon.
Yeah.
Should be easy.
Yeah.
May not be easy, but it's definitely doable.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the belief I have. And also, I am here now.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of the length of time, there's some challenges. I'm still super committed, and I actually believe that by August of 2026, we will be in action as an anti-racist food bank.
That's wonderful.
And so,
can we talk a little bit about
racism
and food? Let's talk about that.
Well, let's talk about racism first.
Okay.
So one of the things that you had said when we got together is something like, or maybe it was in an email, I didn't know the food bank was racist.
Mm-hmm.
Anti-racism is not just being not racist.
Right. I've learned a lot from Nan.
Yeah.
Anti-racism is action. It's action.
Mm-hmm.
So if you aren't actively in this world, actively engaged in equity work, equity thinking, self-reflection,
mm-hmm.
you are racist or you are in a racist institution.
Mm-hmm.
Strong words. This includes me. So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Where should I go from there?
That's a good, that's a really good place to start right there.
So if I don't know this, answer this question. How am I a racist if I don't know I'm a racist?
Because you aren't asking the questions.
Okay, that's right. That's right.
I haven't an exact... And so, I think I might have... I have several examples of me being a racist. But like a simplified version is not acknowledging or noticing that people care more about getting cilantro than parsley at our food bank.
I remember we talked about that.
What's the problem? Da da da. It's all green. It's that, you know, they're just different tastes, you know. And then that perspective is such a racist perspective right here.
Mm-hmm.
The self,
because if you're accustomed, if your culture is accustomed to cilantro, that's what you want. And when somebody says, well, use parsley instead.
That's racism.
That's racism.
But it goes even further than that. So if we are providing a service,
mm-hmm.
and we want to provide a good service.
As the food bank, you mean?
Yes.
Yes.
And as a grocery, and as a food provider, mm-hmm. I say.
Okay.
We want to actually know what our client desires and needs are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if we don't, guess what? And if we don't engage in the inquiry,
right.
guess what?
So are you inquiring? Is that part of the plan? Is that happening now? Kind of? No?
To varying degrees. I'm not actually sure.
Mm-hmm.
So remember, I'm on the board.
Right.
I'm not in the
yeah.
operations.
Yeah.
So this is part of like the whole inquiry. Right now, I'm doing a lot of academic research and
mm-hmm.
reading.
Mm-hmm.
I have some good mentors who will help me with operations. Actually, I'm going to be meeting with somebody who's at the food bank who really deals with all of the operations
okay.
to get more on the ground sense and do research into what are we doing and what are we not doing.
As a Vashon Mori food bank.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, and then you start to think about food systems.
Yeah, let's talk about food systems.
Mm-hmm. Because the Vashon Mori food bank and any food bank and any activity, resource, or person that's engaged in the production or distribution or consumption of food is part of the food system.
Yep.
Okay.
So when we start to, I'm not going to get too deep here, you guys.
It's okay. This is really good.
We're
really
smart
interested.
People. We can handle
yeah.
it. Go.
Okay. Yeah.
When we start to look at the food bank, we're going to have to start to look at, well, how do we source?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where are we sourcing from? How do we decide what to source?
Mm.
There are some food banks, not this one. I was reading about one that's in Minnesota, and it's part of a huge religious food bank network, and they bring in a lot of food. Now, they've got all kinds of stuff that's crazy, but one of the things that I think is crazy is a lot of their food comes from the waste from large distributors,
okay,
food distributors. And many of these food distributors, or some of them, are notorious for having paying migrant workers horrible wages
mm-hmm.
and engaging their workers in horrible living conditions.
Mm.
If you as a food bank accept that food and help that company with
mm-hmm.
essentially helps their profit line,
sure.
mm-hmm.
that's engaging in a racist activity because it's not anti-racist.
Because you're complicit.
You're complicit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of an extreme position, but hey, what else do I have to do?
Well,
there's a lot of academic backup to this and evidence and work that's been done. And there's lots of activity that's going on around this.
Isn't that interesting? Yes. Like when you go to buy seafood and there's like the MSC standards
yep.
of red, yellow, green.
Yep.
It would be so right. fascinating to have that red, yellow, green about labor practices or whatever. Of
wouldn't
this,
it?
Where does it come from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or is this like super GMO? And we can't even do that in the grocery store because lobbyists come after you.
And unfortunately, it's not as simple as
yeah.
GMO. Because
right.
nowadays, GMO doesn't have to be bad.
Correct.
No.
Correct.
It's not all
it means
bad.
Genetically modified.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like,
so you do what you can do.
Yeah. But well, you're doing what you can do.
And our key is to be reflective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To mm-hmm. ask the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's part of, I'm making an assumption here, but I believe that many people are afraid to ask the questions mm-hmm. because it's going to show your ignorance or it's going to show that you haven't thought about it much. And what I like about my job as a, you know, radio or journalist or whatever, is it gives me license to ask the questions. And I think the questions will feed yourself once you learn the answers.
But often the answers are not answers that you want.
Right. But at least you know.
And then you, well, true. And then how do you deal with those answers?
Well, that's up to you, isn't it? As a person.
And as an organization.
As an organization.
As an organization.
Well, and as the person within the organization.
And the person within the organization.
It's many, many layers.
Yeah.
And then the end consumer, too.
Right.
Like, are they just grateful to get food, you know, to get a lift, and they're not parsing, you know, is this ethically sourced
right.
or anything?
I'm just hungry.
Yeah.
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 And quite frankly, on Vashon, there are not a lot of people who are actually hungry.
Mm-hmm. Very good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And so this is really making life, I mean, I think food is right. Okay.
I agree with you. Absolutely.
Okay. So this is really just making life sustainable and thriving.
Mm-hmm.
And those questions may not be relevant for them, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't give people the opportunity to be asked.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
Or, and to share the information.
Mm-hmm.
It's, so this is all going to be the engagement over the next year.
I'm eager to learn more about it. I think it's really, maybe I should volunteer too, you know, to help do some research or something, because
Absolutely.
It's really interesting to me how we come to these conclusions and the aspirations that we each have for equality and justice, not even knowing all the different layers that apply to that goal,
mm-hmm.
because many of us don't. Many of us don't, and that's what you're doing. So how's it going with your degree?
I'm doing well. It's hard.
Is it hard?
Yeah. We were talking earlier about you guys studying for the real estate test and, mm-hmm. You know, 66 or whatever, and learning how to write again, learning how to read with my eyeballs, because everything isn't available audibly.
Yeah.
I have many, I guess, AI tricks
that
I use. And then the stress, you know, of getting things in every Monday by midnight.
Mm-hmm.
and wanting to get a good grade.
I know.
I hate that.
That never
like
changes,
that.
Though, does it?
You know, like, I was bummed. I got an A- average for the first year.
Excellent.
Oh.
And you were bummed by the A-.
I'm like, what? I was like one. And so anyway.
Yeah.
But it's going well, and I've become passionate about this, obviously.
I can tell. This is wonderful for you. It's wonderful for all of us, really, to see. I think it's inspirational, for one thing, because I know you're close to my age and we're retired.
Yeah.
And you've taken on this whole new project that was news to you.
Yeah.
And you're delving into it, and we as a community, and, you know, a little bit farther than that, are going to benefit by this work that you're doing and this study that you're doing. So this is fabulous.
What the instructors and the faculty, they approve the project because they are hyped about the relevance of working this out here that can be transferred to other areas.
To other areas.
Prototyping.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
This is really great for you. It's great for all of us.
Yeah. And it's like, cool.
Yeah. Awesome. We need to take another short break and thank our sponsors, and we'll be right back with more of Nan Wilson.
The Vashon Island Chamber of Commerce creates opportunity for businesses and organizations to prosper while enriching the unique quality of life for every islander. We provide networking, education, and promotional opportunities and produce events like Strawberry Festival, Vashon Halloween, and Winterfest.
Thank you to Windermere Real Estate, whose support makes our community information programming and our emergency alert service possible. Find them on the web at windermerevashon.com.
And We are back.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Stirring the Pot on 101.9 Vashon, KVSH, Vashon, Washington. We're with Ms. Nan Wilson, who is giving us all an education, and a fun education, I might add, about issues that maybe some of us we haven't thought about a lot. And we're talking about racism, systemic food production and consumption. We're talking about societal issues and whatever else comes up at the moment. One thing that I'm really curious about is we touched a little bit on discrimination in food banks. Is there more that you have to add to that that we might, as consumers or maybe even supporters of food banks, need to know or may want to consider?
A little bit. So remember that for me right now, this is study and I'm asking mm-hmm. questions. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I think is really interesting is that food is very much a cultural phenomenon. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I've learned about these concepts of food geographies and how the culture is formed by food. Food's formed by the culture. Mm-hmm. You know, how people talk and relate to each right. other. A new concept I learned from Shelley Means, cultural humility.
Oh, what's that?
Oh, man. It's basically about acknowledging by reflecting once again that who you are talking to may have a completely different perspective about exactly what we're doing right now. I actually even had a little, actually, I'm not going to go too far into it.
Okay.
I won't go further than that, but you can look it up. And why is this relevant? For me, the history of Vashon, of humans in Vashon, starts with the school bus.
Oh, yes. Yes. Thousands of years.
Thousands of years, 10 to 15,000 people mm-hmm. on this island. Mm-hmm. And according to Bruce Hallman's article, they were primarily located around the Quartermaster Harbor. Mm. And they were here for a very long time mm-hmm. as a society. Mm-hmm. And really took pretty good care of the island. Mm-hmm. Had agriculture. Mm. What's the relevance today? I didn't bring the numbers for the indigenous population, but there's still significant indigenous population on the island. Mm-hmm. And there are at least a couple of people of indigenous that are served at the food bank. There are questions that we can ask about that. Mm-hmm. How could it inform mm-hmm. us now? The other thing is the Japanese, the Asian
yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
migration here
yeah. was huge.
And what's the impact? Mm-hmm. What could be the impact? What could we learn? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So these are just things to think about. Another big thing to think about, and the fact that we don't think about it and that we aren't reflecting, and who I wouldn't have thought to reflect on this if I weren't engaged in this program mm-hmm. or if I didn't read The Beachcomber.
Yeah. Yeah, you think about Trish at Thriftway.
Yes.
And her grandfather yes. was the guy, the
yes.
strawberry dude.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
He was the man. And I every time I go through the line, I go, that's history of the island right
it
there.
It is history oh, right there.
Flesh yep. and blood, baby. Yep. And she's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah. I love Trish. She's wonderful.
So we need to be cognizant of the Trishes. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. 100%.
In the last 10 years, the non-white population of Vashon has gone from about 6% to 15%.
Oh, well,
okay.
It's, I mean, you're not talking about a lot of people, but it's significant.
It's a growth.
Yeah.
Percentage-wise, that's a big jump.
That's a big jump. Yeah. The Hispanic population, which I feel like the demographics are underrepresented, went from about 2% to 6%. Mm. I think it's probably more, but in any case, these are significant numbers because from a food bank perspective, quite frankly, there's a number of people of color mm-hmm. who are coming in. And of course, there are people who are lower economic status. Mm-hmm. We haven't necessarily taken the actions to make sure they're included in the decision making, mm-hmm. the power structure, mm-hmm. what food we order. I mean, we do. I don't see the systemization of it. Mm-hmm. I could be completely wrong about this, but you know, that's the inquiry.
I don't think you are.
That's the inquiry.
Yeah.
How do we relate to the other social service organizations on the island?
Yeah, that's a big question. I had that question too.
The handoffs and the networks, for sure.
Yeah.
There was a woman that I helped who was being human trafficked in Algeria. This is a really weird story. And I got her to the island through the Dove Project.
Mm-hmm.
And they hooked her up. And it was with every safety net service you can imagine. Yeah. I'm to cry thinking about it. She's good now. She's really good. She's at school and through accounting, and she picked up her life. But it's important to have all that mapped out, man. She redid her whole life thanks to this island. You can do it.
You can do it, but look what you did. You know,
look what she did. Yeah. And just her experience is so important.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there is a Vashon Social Service Network.
Yes.
And I know that they're active. And one of the inquiries I'm going to be making is, what does that activeness look like?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it in looping back to somehow get in touch with that woman who was being trafficked in Algeria to get her impact on how this could be better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was a customer.
And who's the customer?
Yeah.
That is the customer. That's right. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what's the benefit of this? Well, people are better taken care of, but we are all better taken care of. And ultimately, the handing out of food is not just to help people.
Or be benevolent.
And be benevolent.
It's not about benevolence.
Which, by the way, is a very white perspective.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it is.
Go on.
Do you want to explain that?
I'll tell you the story. I remember another one of my stupid faux pas. Somebody was they were coming up to the food bank and they wanted to also check it, get groceries for their brother or some relative, and I'm like, oh yeah, sure. And by the way, at food banks, bending the rules is a good thing to do. And I was like, oh, is it okay? And yeah, he's closing on his house today, and then I just shut the up because I went into immediate judgment.
Oh, he's got money. What does he need food for? That kind of judgment? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The mind would go there.
Well, it does.
Total racist.
Yeah.
Total exclusionary, total classist. Yeah. But people don't just need they don't come to get food just because they're starved. But they're trying to make things work.
Mm-hmm. And food is like the bottom of the rung. I mean, we have to have that or we're going to die.
And these guys had been living two families in one house for years.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that's like.
No. Yeah.
That's a big trend right now in the market in real estate. Like, there's a retraction back away from the nuclear household and back into multi-generational. It's a huge trend.
Is it? Is it?
Right now, it is happening. Well, look what's happening. Well,
economically rents. Viable for some. Yeah. I mean, you know, people.
And so for me, I have to question myself. And I mean, my first thought is like, oh, but I'm like, man, what's the problem? Maybe that's not such a bad thing. And that's why, I mean, all of these inquiries and changes that can happen can benefit all of us.
For sure.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe not spending that $150 at the grocery store will make the mortgage payment that month.
Well, that's what I'm hearing.
The electricity
payment. There are many people on Vashon who use the food bank for exactly that reason. Because, and they're totally upfront about it.
Because there's almost enough money, but not quite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we all need food. So I've been a supporter of the food bank for years. I used to volunteer there. I haven't in a long time, but I think I better start again. You're inspiring me.
It's a happy feeding place.
It's a happy place. Yeah. And they're doing a great job.
Oh, the other thing to remember that I should note is we are moving to the center of town.
I know. That'll
be
so wonderful.
We've raised millions of dollars.
And you've broken ground.
We've broken ground. We expect to open in the new location at the beginning of 26. And by the way, plug, we still need about $1 million, I think.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, but we're at like 86% of funding.
Good.
And excellent.
It will not just be the food bank. we're going to try to bring as many services together as possible.
Oh,
to the same building?
There you go.
Yep. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be good?
Yes.
Oh, I hadn't heard that one. Thanks for the news. I hadn't heard that one.
That would be so ideal.
Yeah.
It kind of needs to happen. It feels like a duh. Like, why didn't you think of that sooner?
Yeah, why didn't we? Why didn't we?
I think that actually there was thinking about it at least 10 years ago.
There you go.
And it's taken this long to...
Sure.
Yeah, to get through it. And
I think the Methodist Church really was a driver of the whole... I could be wrong about that, but...
Okay.
Well, thinking about it, you know, some things take a while to think about. We all kind of think about things for a long time. I'm really interested, too, and we'll probably continue this conversation offline because we don't have time right now, but one of the things that the rabbit hole you talked about that I went down was how the Ottoman Empire did its thing and how that influences who we are today.
Yeah.
Like the one little nugget I want to share with you, and maybe we'll delve into this another time, but the Ottoman Empire is indirectly responsible because they controlled the spice trade route for 900 years till right around World War I. But that was one of the beginning catalysts that gave Queen Isabella in Spain the idea to fund Columbus to find a new route to the New World because they were sick of paying the Ottomans their taxes and tariffs on the spices, and they wanted to find a new way to go around the world and sell their own spices and buy their own spices on their own prices. And so, you know, then we get into that whole thing about commercialism and food and industry, and it has all snowballed. And I'm very excited to learn more about this because it sparked something in me with regard to who we are today in our food systems and how historically, I mean, you can start way back then, and while they didn't have the systems that we have now, and they didn't have the infrastructure that we have now, but they had different infrastructure and different systems, and it still changed everything, the trade, the money, the tax, and the tariffs. And that's all I'll say about that right now, but it's really...
But today's systems are still based on that.
They're still based on that. That's what I mean. Yeah. They're still based on that. We're just modern. We've just, you know, we've grown and we're doing things differently. But really, when you get down to it, it's the tradesman, it's the merchant, it's the people with the money and the people without the money. And that's just who we are as a country now, as a world, really.
I do wonder, what is Bill Gates going to do with all that farmland he's acquired?
I know. What is he going to do with all that farmland? We don't read about that part.
Do you know, Nan?
Yeah, Nan. Have you talked to Bill lately?
No, I haven't talked to Bill. Somebody did a paper on it, and I can't remember, honestly. There's some plans.
There have to be, right?
Yeah.
Something green.
Yeah, but farmland the agricultural land is a really good investment right now.
Sure.
Yeah, well, there's only so much left.
Yeah, well, they're trading it like it's...
I know. My brother is a rancher in Montana. I have a brother rancher in Montana, and I have a brother rancher in Colorado. And they're getting offers all the time.
Yeah.
You know, people, investors from somewhere else.
Yes. You know.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know. So, I guess we're just about there.
I know.
Any questions, Heidi? Questions from you, Celine?
Nan started talking about, you know, she went back to the beef when I asked about the...
Where's the beef?
What's the one thing that makes you kind of feel... Yeah. When you eat it now, knowing what you know.
But I love beef.
It's true. But I was going somewhere with this.
Okay.
Darn it.
And you lost it?
It'll come back.
Well, I do have to confess, if you want to talk about beef, I really occasionally crave a hamburger. And I don't eat very much red beef. I don't buy it. I don't have any in my freezer. I have some chicken, I have some fish, but I like it, I guess, but I never think of it. It's sort of like now it has become ew. It's a muscle.
Oh, no, it's not like that for me. I mean, as you're talking about this, I am just imagining a super marbled...
A ribeye steak, you know. I mean,
ribeye
is my favorite steak. But I don't think about it anymore, my point. Okay. I'm not thinking about it anymore. But now I'm going to slobber all over myself because I'm thinking about a ribeye steak done on the grill, you know. And I have a son who's a master smoker guy, and he smokes these ribeyes like you would not believe. And so I have had that when I've been at their house, but I only go there a couple times a year. So, you know. But the whole beef thing is really interesting, and it would be interesting to have a rancher, a beef rancher, to have a discussion with. Not an argument, not a discussion, like how to, because everybody needs to make a living, and how do we make all of this work? How does that work?
Yeah. You're asking good questions.
Yeah.
Very good questions.
Yeah. Well, Nan, thank you so much. This has been an education, and I want more. So I hope you'll come back at another time. We'd love to have you again.
Yeah.
Get your
time's up.
Yeah.
I know.
Time
went too
is
quickly.
Up. Darn it. It was really good to talk with all of you.
Thank
and
you,
we
guys.
Will, listen, thank you. And we will see all of our listeners or listen you in a couple of weeks.
You're listening to KBSH LP Vashon.
Thank
you. See you next time.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye.